the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumy and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo colonies. Soldiers left their faces when.
This is the Quality News Network. At the United Nations, the five veto-wielding members agreed to postpone a vote on possible sanctions against North Korea over its missile launches. They say they want to wait and see if China can talk the reclusive country into joining six-party talks. Meanwhile, Japan is reportedly trying to determine whether its constitution would allow a preemptive strike. In Manhattan, at least 15 people were injured when a building in the Upper East Side collapsed and burned. Witnesses reported the smell of gas and a huge blast before a fire erupted. Officials are investigating whether a doctor who was going through a divorce and was inside the building at the time of the collapse was trying to commit suicide. In Iraq, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is calling for unity following a weekend of violence. More than 40 people died today in attacks, including car bombings and a shooting. In Russia, the security chief says special forces have killed the country's most wanted man, a Chechen warlord thought to be responsible for a 2004 attack on a school. 331 people died in that attack, half of them children. In the Gaza Strip, the face-off between Israel and the Palestinians continues. At least 8 Palestinians were killed today in Israeli airstrikes aimed at freeing an abducted Israeli soldier. In Afghanistan, the U.S. military reports that more than 40 Taliban members were killed today in fighting. Yesterday, 15 militants and a Canadian soldier were killed in the ongoing effort to root out Taliban insurgents in the southern part of the country. Also today, Britain announced plans to deploy nearly 900 additional troops to Afghanistan between now and October. The first troops are expected to arrive within days. In Washington today, a judge ruled that an FBI search of a congressman's office in May was legal. He also denied a request that the material seized during the search be returned. The search was conducted on the office of Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson, who's being investigated on bribery charges. Also in Washington, the Bush administration asked the judge to throw out a lawsuit that challenges the domestic spying program. White House officials say defending it in court would jeopardize national security. In Mississippi, a judge began hearing a case on whether an insurance company should have to pay for damages to a couple whose home was flooded during Hurricane Katrina. This is the first of what's expected to be thousands of cases against insurers who say their policies cover only damage caused by wind. You're listening to QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity. Instead of hostility, you married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The former head of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, was sworn in as U.S. Treasury Secretary today. President Bush attended the brief ceremony, which Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts presided over. The European Commission says it plans to raise the ceiling of future fines on Microsoft to $3.8 million a day. That's if the company continues to defy a 2004 antitrust decision against it. Florida State University has received a more than $6 million NOAA grant. The money will be used to develop a new way of predicting the number of hurricanes, as well as their strength, each hurricane season. French-based jet maker Airbus says it received only 117 orders in the first half of the year. Airbus is dealing with problems, including delays in the production of its super jumbo jet, the A380. AAA of California says it will begin basing its rates on how safely and how much its customers drive rather than where they live. The auto insurer estimates that change will mean a savings of $133 million a year for its policyholders. The J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles will return two ancient sculptures to Greece. Greek officials claim the pieces were illegally excavated and smuggled out of their country. Three British bankers will be extradited later this week in the U.S. They'll face charges related to the Enron accounting scandal. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 13 points, NASDAQ up down 13, S&P 500 up 2.
Okay, don't you
stop America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, 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 welcome. Monday is here at last. My favorite day of the week. My favorite day of the week because it's a chance to get away from the silence, the cut-offedness, the isolation of not having this microphone and not having you with whom to share time and with whom to share, more importantly than time, perhaps ideas. And frustration. And aggravation. And a few laughs along the way as well. But, there's nothing like Monday. I crawled up off of the floor this morning and got right to work here in the studio. I think we're fast approaching the point at which I live here. Bless her heart, Agnes just brought me my dinner back here while I was producing Bruce. But at any rate, we've got CNN Pipeline here. It's a separate segment of CNN that broadband streams video. It's really quite handy. But I got up and I went to turn it, just turned it on to see what's going on. And they're all breathless, but a building has collapsed in New York City. And it was almost orgy-like. Well, we can't be certain that it's not terrorism, but at this point, no one is ruling that out. Three-story residential building that had some doctor's offices or something in it. And you could hear them aching. You could just hear the CNN people aching to say that it was terrorism, because the next thing you know, the font generator would go into sweat condition alpha, and we'd have dum-dum-dum, terrorism alert. And the really cool bumper in-out music and, I'm standing here in front of the smoking rubble. The country's in a mess. And while the Bush administration is responsible for the vast majority of the mess we're in, there is a complicit, well, you know this, a complicit media that is hoping that it gets worse. You know, I quoted the other night from Don Henley's song, Dirty Laundry. Bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She can tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. Give us dirty laundry. That's where the American, especially television media, is today. And here's the best part. Here's the best part. Apparently, Larry King was staying in a hotel, a block and a half or so away from this building that collapsed. And they dragged his semi-comatose old self out of bed to talk about it. Agnes, do we have that clip of Larry King? You gotta hear this. Yeah, because Larry King is the first, it was immediately apparent what it is he wanted people to think had happened to the building. He wanted it to be Osama's attack. Got it there, Agnes?
Sure
did. How about running it?
Earthquake can make a sound, too, but not like this. This was, it sounded like a bomb would sound. Oh, what a big, like the bombing of London in World War II. That's the only thing I can imagine. It was one huge boom.
Yeah, it was a bomb, I tell you. It was a bomb. Sounded like a bomb. The bomb it. I mean, like, nah, it wasn't no earthquake.
Jeez. What do we do about it? Because you turn away, you get the same thing at MSNBC. You get the same thing at CNBC. You get it at CBS, ABC, NBC. And that was, this building just collapsed all by itself. So, government sources have not yet ruled out terrorism. However, they are saying that it does not appear to be terroristic at this point. And some news producers off in a corner somewhere go, "No, God, please let it be terrorism. Let it be terrorism. Let it be terrorism. Terrorism's good for us. We can sell lots of ad space during the terrorism. Please." Do we quit watching? I'm about to that point. The only time, I'm guilty. I'm the one that turned it on. But about the only thing that I ever get out of watching CNN is something to share with you guys and go, "Oh, look, they're even dumber than we thought." And I've got, in fact, speaking of dumber than we thought, here in a little bit, I've got dumber than we thought. But to hear them ache to be able to say that it's a terrorist attack. It was embarrassing. And more than that, it was shameful. I can only imagine what this played like over at Fox. They probably did declare that it was terrorism. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to another Monday in the Coward Nation. Welcome, one and all, to another Monday in the most terrified nation on the planet. Can you imagine? Iraqis knew that we were going to attack them. Iraqis knew that we were going to slaughter them. Iraqis knew that we were going to drop bombs and missiles on them and kill their women and children without 10 cents worth of regard for innocent human life. And they didn't, and they behaved with more dignity, knowing that they were about to be slaughtered. They behaved with more dignity than we do when a building falls down in New York City. Faster and faster and faster, I become more and more ashamed. Not of most of my countrymen, but of the leadership of our country and of the so-called noble Fourth Estate.
I've been through an earthquake. That wasn't no earthquake. I can only tell you that it sounded like a bomb. Like the bombing of London.
There was more talk there was more talk about whether or not it was a bomb than about whether or not there were people in the building. Dig it. That tells you a little something. Welcome to the coward nation. Welcome to the nation that Osama has frankly already defeated. Because we care more about our fears than we care about our freedoms. The government's arguing again that to have to defend a suit about NSA spying would threaten the program and would threaten national security. You know, just once I'd like to see a federal judge out there with the stones to write an opinion that said something like, oh, how about an administration more concerned with preserving national security than the Constitution has lost its way and forgotten the reason for national security in the first place. Would you get up and cheer a judge like that? I would. But they'll probably dismiss the suit, and yeah, so what if we're being spied on? There's another court decision out there today. Oh, what's the headline say? We'll go into it later. Judge rules Capitol Hill raid was legal. Oh, I think we're going to chew on that one like a piece of gristle in a rack of ribs. Let's take a break, though, first. When we come back, your phone calls are always welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. My sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Mother, hello father, here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining, and they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey, he developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators. And the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads to us from something called Ulysses. Now I don't want this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party.
22 minutes after the hour. I guess maybe, if somebody was sending that home from Gitmo, it wouldn't be quite so humorous, but an oldie but a goodie. And our thanks to our good friend Cossack for sending it in. Several different directions to go, really, right now. But listen to just some language here. According to the Associated Press, they write, an FBI raid on a Louisiana congressman's Capitol Hill office was legal, a federal judge ruled Monday. Chief U.S. District Judge Thomas F. Hogan said members of Congress are not above the law. He rejected requests from lawmakers and Democratic Representative William Jefferson to return material seized by the FBI in their raid on Jefferson's office. Now, look, I don't care if Jefferson's innocent or guilty at this juncture. But offhand, I can't think of a concomitant law enforcement office that is controlled. Oh, I guess there's the Capitol Hill Police. Judge Hogan said that the theory of legislative privilege put five foot there. Trying to be serious and can't even talk. Too much gin on the cornflakes, I guess. The theory that he put forward, quote, would have the effect of converting every congressional office into a taxpayer-subsidized sanctuary for crime.
Sanctuary. Sanctuary.
And Judge Hogan also noted that the case was unprecedented. But he also said, a member of Congress is generally bound to the operation of the criminal laws as are any ordinary persons. You know, don't jerk Don't pull my leg, Judge Hogan. Congress's effectiveness is not threatened by permitting congressional offices to be searched pursuant to validly issued search warrants. Okay? So, if he approves of this, it would strike me that, I don't know, if we can only get a majority back in November of 2006, then what, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, or whoever the leadership happens to be, and I hope it ain't them, they could go and get themselves a search warrant for the Oval Office and send a contingent of Capitol Police over to the White House late on a Saturday night, just like these FBI goons did the Capitol, and rifle through Bush's drawers. I mean, that's what Hogan's saying, isn't it? A search warrant could be executed on the White House? But you see, you got to remember, no search warrant was executed on the office of Tom DeLay. No search warrant was executed on the office of John Boehner. No search warrant was executed on the office of Randy Duke Cunningham. No, sunshine. They're not Democrats, and they're not black. Now, like I said, I'm not concerned with the guilt or innocence of Congressman Jefferson. He may be as guilty as sin, and if he is, frankly, I'd like for him to be a cellmate with Randy Duke Cunningham for the rest of his natural-born life. Dirty public officials are about as dirty as it gets. But it is worth remembering that thanks to Jack Abramoff, can you do that to Abram, and Tom DeLay, there are literally tens, dozens, hundreds of young Chinese women in the Marianas Islands who were compelled into prostitution, who were compelled to abortions because of the sweatshops that Tom DeLay tried to move heaven and earth to make sure stayed open in the Marianas Protectorate. The same sweatshops where Tom DeLay moved heaven and earth to make sure that even though it's an American possession, it's an American protectorate, and gets all the benefits of being part of America, per se, Tom DeLay, well, wanted to make sure that communist minimum wage wasn't paid there. The data's all out there. Most of it, it's public, for God's sakes. We know what a pimp Tom DeLay was with regard to the Marianas Islands. But no search warrant for Tom DeLay's Capitol office. No search warrant for Randy Duke Cunningham's Capitol office. Pick a dirty congressman. Pick a dirty Republican. No search warrant. Black guy? From Louisiana, who's a Democrat, search warrant, no problem. And here's the fun part. This is the fun part of the story. Judge Hogan, U.S. District Judge Hogan, who wrote the opinion saying that it was okay for the FBI stormtroopers to go and raid those Capitol offices on Saturday night when there was no one there to resist it. He's the guy who issued the warrant. Yeah, really. He's the one who issued the search warrant. He wrote an opinion approving of a or rather, he wrote an opinion denying a challenge to a search warrant that he himself issued. Is there some way, I mean, is it just me? Or would maybe the more, because don't the canons of judicial ethics have something in them about a judge shall avoid even the appearance of impropriety. Well, doesn't it appear just a little bit improper for a judge to be out there issuing rulings on decisions that he has already made? In other words, validating himself. I mean, that's all well and good in group therapy. Yeah, I like me. You know, that's okay there. But it's no good if you want to maintain a judiciary with anything approaching a semblance of integrity. I write a damn fine search warrant. Thank you very much. Upheld. You know, and down at the somewhere in the body of the thing, Hogan writes, the power to determine the scope of one's own privilege is not available to any other person, including members of the coequal branches of government, federal judges, or the President of the United States. A federal judge is not a mere rubber stamp in the warrant process, but rather an independent and neutral official sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution. Request denied. I like me. Oh, God. Let's take a break. When we come back, your thoughts on this. I'd be interested to hear them. 877-443-2366 is, of course, the number. 877, the number 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the...
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism,
and that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts,
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
This is Lee Hamilton
and Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history,
and we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens,
staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history,
and it's also our future.
Get involved.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. Love that song. Let's go straight to the phones. Luke is joining us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I tell you what, can I have one wish? You know, I would love to be somebody like Larry Johnson, who on the last couple of days they're in office gets to walk up to both Bush and Cheney and tell them, you know, for the next 10 years, every time you pick up a phone, I'm going to be on the other end. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, y'all put these rules through, well, we're going to have fun with them. So any deal the Cheneys or the Bushes made, we're going to follow it for the next 10 years. And if you step over the line.
Well, you know, I just want to give a little, you know, those little pink rubber bracelets that everybody's so fond of. I want to have a bunch printed up, and I want to give one to every congressional Republican, and I want to put WWHD on it. Every time they think about one of these hateful little invasions of American privacy, one of these little moments where they're going to pee on the Constitution, a Republican holds it up and looks at, what would Hillary do? And that ought to be enough to give them the fantods.
It's one of them things. I just hope, you know, it's like I say, just enjoy turning it back on them, you know. Part of me says, you know, we have to cut the rules out when they go, but part of me was just, like I say, just every once in a while, just like wanting to pick up a phone and hear somebody just scratch on the phone.
Yeah, well, see though, Luke, I'm kind of all in favor of taking the rules that they make and using them against them. But see, as Democrats, we're too nice to do that.
Yeah.
Our good friend Mark Levin made a point earlier today when he was talking about the Texas redistricting constitutional decision last week. He said, you know, the Supreme Court said that Texas is free to utterly disenfranchise any voter that they want to, except for a small district touching upon, I think, El Paso with a lot of Latinos in it. And I'm not being sarcastic about that. But the question that Mark asked was, if that is the case, if a state may arbitrarily redistrict itself to completely eliminate any opposition, because Texas was 51-49 pretty much, and they had a Democratic majority, and they just legislated it away with a redistricting plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, what Mark asked is, with that ruling having come down, why aren't the solidly blue states redistricting the Republicans right out of existence?
You know what I mean? It's mutual. It's what do you call it? Mutual assured annihilation. You know, it's one of those things we can sit there and do it, but it's sort of like we do it to us, you do it to them. You know. It's one of those things that never ends. I mean, it'll get to the point where if we were that case, we'd be doing it every year. You know what I mean? Every year. Because Texas, at least, they're only in session every 2 years of their legislature. Some of these places, they'd be doing it every year.
Well, see, the sad thing is, though, that where there are Republican majorities, they're going to do it.
Oh, I know.
And I'm afraid that we Democrats will sit around, Luke, singing Kumbaya and putting daisies in rifle barrels right up to the end, that to the point where a Republican Congress creates a law making it illegal to be a Democrat.
I think I'm going to take my new Democratic model from Andy Jackson. You know, he was a Democrat, but he didn't care, you know.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, you kind of have to be that way, don't you? It's,
I know.
What is it like? What's that old saying? Dance like no one's watching.
Well, it's one of those things, you know. They say turn the other cheek. It's like, well, fine, you're going to get the other cheek slapped. What then? You know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they ain't going to care about it. You know, it's one of those things. It's like saying, I know this would never ever happen, but one of the first things, if the Democrats ever got full control, first thing I'd say is put back in the fairness doctrine. I would love to just hear that scream. That would be a scream you could hear planet-wide, just from the fat man. Oh, God, he would scream so loud, it would be funny.
Oh, I do. I've got a fat man update, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I got a link from one of our listeners to, I think it's thesmokinggun.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the documentation that was filled out when he was detained by the INS. And yes, because I know our friend Andy is listening, he's not credible, okay, and we move on. But it is worth noting that these documents, there's an affidavit there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the affidavit, oh goodness, what have I done to it, done with it? In the affidavit, he writes about how, you know, he was detained and it wasn't fair and he wanted to cry. But he also talks about how his... Oh, here it is. Upon clearing customs at PBI, Palm Beach International, returning from the Dominican Republic, customs agent found a bottle of Viagra prescribed to one of my doctors, not me. I was told this was a possible violation of law. When asked about this, I told the agent that my doctor got the prescription for Viagra for me in his name to protect my privacy, given the potential embarrassing nature of Viagra. Well, it's finally come out that he went on that trip to the Dominican Republic with three other guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. He somewhere in all this, I heard it described as a boys' weekend, and I'm like, really? I said, then why did you need the Viagra?
It reminds me of the old joke about the guy who moves onto a ranch out on the range somewhere. And this fellow shows up on his porch and says, "Well, neighbor, I saw where you moved in there, and I wanted to welcome you." He says, "I live about 10 miles down the road. It's pretty sparsely populated out here, but we're going to have a party next Saturday night." Guy says, and the new guy says, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, we're going to play some cards. You like playing cards?" He says, "Oh, I like playing cards." He says, "We're going to drink some liquor. You like drinking liquor?" "Oh yeah, I like drinking liquor." "We're going to dance?" He says, "You like dancing?" "Yeah, I like dancing." He says, "And there's probably going to be some sex." And the guy goes, "You like sex, don't you?" And the fellow says, "Yeah." He says, "Who all's going to be there?" He says, "Just you and me."
Ooh.
Oh, tough crowd, Luke.
Well, you know how it is. It's like the old saying in the Wild West, you know how it is, when men were men and sheep are scared.
Exactly. But, you know, this thing's also accompanied by a typed up, notarized sworn affidavit as well. That, interestingly enough, for those who are interested, gives Russia's street address. Google Earth is a really cool thing, Luke.
But yeah, one thing I wondered in there, does it say whether or not they took any of the pills for testing?
No, nothing was in. No, they were taken. No.
Me, as from what I understand, Oxycontin and Viagra are both blue pills.
Huh.
So I'm just curious why they didn't take one or two just to make sure that's what they were.
Well, this had, I mean, yeah, well, I don't know. They assumed that they were. Now, the other interesting thing is that in the affidavit, he says that they were prescribed for him by Dr. Sturmwasser. Really? Dr. Sturmwasser, who has been managing his addiction problem.
Managing it well, yeah.
What's an addiction doctor doing prescribing Viagra?
What was it, what was the one years ago, Dr. Nick? Remember Elvis's doctor?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Nick. Yeah, take one of these, King.
Anything Elvis wanted, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's just one of the things when you see that stuff. It's just, I tell you the one that gets to me, though, I tell you, and I've got the sound off right now, but I haven't got it on, because I tell you what, every time I watch it, I laugh, is Mr. Matthews. Turned it on Sunday morning. I tell you what, MSNBC needs to have this guy taken to the psychiatrist. This guy has got Hillary obsession.
Oh,
yeah. Happens in the world with him that Hillary didn't cause it.
He's a stalker. Chris Matthews is just a stalker. But you know, it's not, you know, he's the media version of it. But
the thing of it is like, you know, he has this show that's on, I guess, CNBC, but they, you know, they around here, like, say, we get it on Sunday mornings and all this. And it's like the first half hour or the first 15 minutes of a half hour show, that's all he talks about is Hillary and how everything that's going on is she's behind it.
Yeah, day in and day out. I mean, I'm sure if he was commenting on the little building collapse in New York today, you know, Hillary, no one saw Hillary Clinton around the site.
That of course, she's behind it because she wants the property. I'm sure that before they get done, I still to this day, talk about property, though, I still to this day, you're talking about the media. You know, with this thing with the Times and all that, we have to protect the quote-unquote media, the press. But I tell you what, every time I think about what our media has done in the last 10 years, part of me's like, oh, part of me would almost like to see some of them just erased, but I know I can't. But you know what I mean? There's some of them. It's like, say, their typewriters or whatever. You know, their laptops should be taken away from them.
Well, I mean, but again, and it's deeper than just the media loop, because this is the reason that I submit Hillary cannot win a presidential election. They have been practicing this, and, you know, Flush Flimball, he's been flatulating since, what, 2000, swearing she was going to run for the presidency, and he's been wrong every time?
Well, I mean, you know, as bad as they are on her, it's not as bad for him, but I tell you what, if they were ever to convince Al Gore to run, you know good and well, you can already name the ones who'd already be lined up telling you what he's thinking and how it's all wrong for America. You know what I mean? Every time I love it every time they get into this thing about, oh, maintain coverage on ourselves. They keep talking, you know, we caught Jason Blair and all this. I said, that's fine. You still tell me where C.C. Connolly and Catherine Seeley are. You tell me why they weren't fired.
Well, exactly.
These are women who are out there manufacturing, re-editing the news for their favor.
Well, why was Steno Judy Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Why was she kept on the payroll? Because, you know, that wasn't about press freedom.
No.
That was about shameless journalistic prostitution.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's different levels of it. You know what I mean? When you look at some of these people, they still carry. And you're like, why? You know, the one I always love, talk about the way some people treat the media and the press. I always love when they talk about talk radio and they talk about liberal talk radio, and they always go, well, you know, Jim Hightower couldn't make it, you know, because I used to like to listen to Hightower years ago, and I got looking at something the other day and it reminded me of this. You know, Hightower actually had good ratings. The problem was, one of his pet peeves was this company called Disney. And at the time, he was on an ABC radio.
Mm-hmm.
Before Disney bought ABC. And guess what happened right after Disney bought ABC?
What's that?
Mr. Hightower was unfortunately fired.
Yeah, because at that point in time, he had become a failure.
Well, yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
But like I say, he was on right in the morning up there, and apparently his numbers actually were fairly good.
Well, I mean, the MSNBC canned Phil Donahue when he had the best numbers on the network.
Well, it's like I say, here you have Donahue and Oberman have the best numbers on MSNBC. I haven't seen a rush of liberal hosts on MSNBC. Have you?
No, and that's the interesting thing. In virtually any market where you put liberal talk, or as Oberman's proving with his program, it succeeds.
Yeah.
People are tired of hearing this just sickening, constant barrage of, and frankly, if in mainstream right wing talk, sooner or later, just like Chris Matthews, they get around to having a Hillary fit. You know, and it's not just Chris Matthews. It's all over CNN. It's like poison ivy. It spreads, but it's spread outward. It spread from the likes of Dan Burton, Luke. Remember Dan Burton from Indiana?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I say we're going to recreate now the killing of Vince Foster in my backyard once again.
And went out and shot a watermelon.
I know. Well, you know, the thing that gets me is I love it when every once in a while they go, well, it's all market-driven. I went, wait a minute. The two most successful people you've had on are liberals. Where are they? I mean, you know, then you should be throwing conservatives off over the side, right, left, and center. You know, it's like, say, Tucker Carlson shouldn't have enough time to untie the old bow tie. Joe Scarborough should be sitting into his new office in his house. You know, it's one of these things. It's like, you know, they should have three or four different other people on. You know what I mean? If you want to have a mix, that's fine. But just, you know, let's have a mix. It's not like all the right-wingers, oh, yeah, Ann Oberman.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's the exception. But you know how it is. It's like, say, it might make sense. I mean, you just got to wonder, the guys at CNN, how many – I'd love to just see what their numbers on their emails are about Glenn Beck. Because you notice that Kurt never mentions it talking in his media review stuff.
Oh, no.
I hear word one about Glenn Beck.
Well, no, there are rules for Howie Kurtz. He can't do that. You know, the fact is, probably there's not that much email about it, Luke, because nobody's watching.
This is true. I used to enjoy it better when they had the Showbiz Tonight run five times a night. At least
if they're that desperate for programming, can't somebody please bring Bill Tush out of retirement?
Gosh. Get him and the German Shepherd.
Yeah.
I used to love getting up at 3:50 in the morning to watch the TBS news. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well, Luke, we've got to roll along.
All right.
Have yourself a good evening.
You too.
All right. I think we got a treat for you when we go into the top of the hour break. We got a new song. You might enjoy it. All right.
See y'all.
Onward.
Bye.
And we're joined by David. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well, and I'm thrilled to hear you put that nice line in the sand between what happened to the lone black Democratic congressman, almost certainly doing something illegal, and three big-name, powerful, Republican, ugly thieves that, you know, some of them have already been proved to have done something illegal and horrible. You know, suddenly they can do that, and I want badly. I want the Democrats to be able to find that same judge to go through every Republican desk at the first hint of anything. If a Girl Scout cookie sale comes up $2.09 short within the district, I want Republicans to be frightened.
Well, and as well it should be, because, you know, this Judge Hogan guy, David, there's nothing I can see from what I've seen of the opinion that he took into account any of the privacy concerns. You know, those computers in Congressman Jefferson's office had non-criminal stuff on it that was very, very much private.
Of course it was.
You know, lists of constituents and lists of people who like him and lists of people who hate him. You know, just from the email alone that had come in there, and now George Bush's FBI is sitting there going, okay, we got one for us, one for him, two for him, one for us.
Well, it's just an extension of the old plumber's routine. They wanted the political information that was in the man's office. Make no mistake about it. The Republican administration wanted the political information in the man's office. It's that simple.
It is that simple. You know, and in the chat room, our friend Cossack is saying, you know, we need to get Judge Hogan to issue a search warrant for the White House. Well, you know, it doesn't work that way, because the FBI is not going to come get one. This guy is a lapdog for the FBI. That's the thing. This is an executive. This isn't the FBI, David. This is an executive abuse of power, because someone gave the order to raid the Capitol. You know, this is not just some intrepid G-man out there.
No, and it was not a
rejuvenation of a policy that had been neglected by either party. It's never, if I understand correctly, in the history of the District of Columbia, it's never been done this way. Am I correct?
It's a newbie.
Yeah, like I said. Well, let's shift over to this Hillary and this Bill fascination.
Yeah.
They're on broadcast television here so frequently, I'm going to tape them so that you can see them. There are two Republicans that want so badly to be the next neocons from the state of Tennessee to take over for the cat killer. There is potentially a very entertaining Republican primary between one Ed Bryant and one Van Hillary. And Hillary being the last name, and it's spelled different than Bill's wife. They have started airing commercials for the Republican primary that's about 6-8 weeks out. And they never mention George Bush in either commercial.
Who's that?
Exactly. They talk about family values. And in one, I think it's, I saw the Van Hillary one first. So what he said, and I'm not making this up, as his second most important reason to be elected by Republicans, he says, and I quote, "I voted when I was a representative against Bill Clinton more than 112 times. His reason to be elected is that he voted against Bill Clinton. Now, hold on for a second. I know you're loading up on
it. I'm vibrating.
The other one, Ed Bryant, says the same thing. You know, I believe in God, and I've got to stop the homosexuals. And then he says, once elected, I will protect you, my constituency, from Hillary Clinton.
No.
I swear to you, the lightning bolt will come through the roof and you'll hear a crackling sound. I will protect you. These are primary voters in the state of Tennessee.
What, she in a gunboat coming down the Cumberland?
Thank you. Exactly. I will protect you from Hillary Clinton. And that's the first thing I thought of. Well, when's the invasion going to start? What he says.
Oh, God, they're funny. They're just, if they weren't, no.
Ultimately, it will be funny. Underneath that, the bullet points, just like in a PowerPoint situation, when he says, I will protect you from Hillary Clinton, the bullet point that pops up is, he's a conservative. I'm going to get these on tape.
I must see these.
I can only get them to you in VHS, so I hope you can still play VHS, but I will get them. It may happen tonight, but I will get them on my little media.
Well, I wonder when you fire up the computer there, David, see if you can find their websites. I'll bet you their ads are on their website.
Well,
Or maybe we just gave a homework assignment to the chat room.
Bryant, Ed Bryant, and Van Hillary, Hillery.
Ed Bryant and Van Hillary.
Republicans trying to replace the cat killer. These commercials are hysterical because ultimately, once you get over screaming at the television, how could voting against Bill Clinton that put more money as a surplus in the federal government than we've known about for?
I mean, isn't that the same as running an ad that says, "Hi, I was stupider than almost any other Republican in Congress. Make me a senator."
Exactly. And then the other one, to establish his conservative credentials, is, "I will protect you from Hillary Clinton." They're still, I mean, it's been gone 5 years, 5+ years.
Oh, saints preserve us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it does speak volume about how afraid they are. You know, the commercials that ran in 2004, "I'm the best friend of George Walker Bush."
Mm-hmm.
May
Bab, Pickle, W. We the closest of buddies. We drank sweet tea and sit on the porch. And I mean, they couldn't say the man's name often enough.
Mm-mm.
And here these two guys are, and this is going, for Tennessee, this will probably set an all-time record for dirty, stupid, and costly, as campaigns go. Because these are two alpha male Republicans that want that seat more than they want life itself. You know, they gave up on honesty, dignity, and hard work decades ago. These two men will kill to have this seat.
Any chance of a Democrat winning it, David?
There's a very strong, slightly flawed, because he's part of one of the most corrupt political families.
Harold Ford?
Yeah. He will give them both a hell of a run in the state of Tennessee, because he had distance between himself and the ugliest part of his progenitors beginning 5, 6, 7 years ago. He's a cornbread Barack Obama. He's good. He can look you in the face and talk to you, and nothing has ever, ever, ever turned up. And he was steadfastly in the lead to pursue honesty within the state house when he was part of it, or in the state legislature, even as his older relative was making a mockery of, you know, the people's servants. He's got a really good chance to give them a heck of a race.
Well, good. I hope we can find these ads. David, we got a roll. We're kind of over the top.
Well, do take care. Thanks for letting me stick that in there. And remember, you know, Republicans must protect us from Hillary. They've been doing that for, what, 6 years?
Hillary going to get your Bible. And your old maiden auntie. Thanks, David.
See ya.
Later. All right. Time for the news. I'm Bob. This is Head On. If you want to jump in, get involved with the program, area code 877, area code 877-443-2366. Enjoy this before the news.
I miss Monica, I miss Monica. Miss those innocent days before they stole the election. And the flashing of the thong was just a sign of affection. And the president didn't have to go to war just to get an erection. I miss Monica. I miss Monica. I miss Monica. I miss Monica. It makes me sad to see Bill gone to bed. He had to confess. But the pressure was on. He was under duress. And of course there was a little matter of the stain on her dress. I miss Monica, I miss Monica, with her cute beret and her pouting lip. She made the most of her internship. We learned back then loose lips sink ships. And the scariest thing in the news was a picture of Linda Tripp. I miss Monica, I miss Monica. So busy raking the muck, the sanctimonious can star. He wasted 40 million bucks, he ought to be disbarred. Cause all he ever found was one used Cuban cigar. I miss Monica, I miss Monica, I miss Monica, I miss Monica. GW's twisted logic is kind of hard to follow. It's almost pathological and all its promises sound hollow. And the lies he tells would be hard to swallow. Even for Monica, dear sweet Monica, with a cute beret and her pouting lip, she made the most of her internship. And learned back then loose lips sink ships. And the scariest thing in the news was a picture of Linda Tripp. I miss Monica, I miss Monica. When she ruled the headlines, the world was full of promise. It was a gentler time without suicide bombers. You could share a Coca-Cola with Judge Clarence Thomas. I miss Monica, I miss Monica, I miss Monica, I miss Monica. She
was never appreciated, and though it may sound silly, she was mocked and humiliated, she was stoned and pilloried. Now all we've got left to look forward to is President Hillary. I miss Monica. I miss Monica. I miss Monica.
This is the Quality News Network. At the United Nations, the five veto-wielding members agreed to postpone a vote on possible sanctions against North Korea over its missile launches. They say they want to wait and see if China can talk the reclusive country into joining six-party talks. Meanwhile, Japan is reportedly trying to determine whether its constitution would allow a preemptive strike. In Manhattan, at least 15 people were injured when a building in the Upper East Side collapsed and burned. Witnesses reported the smell of gas and a huge blast before a fire erupted. Officials are investigating whether a doctor who was going through a divorce and was inside the building at the time of the collapse was trying to commit suicide. In Iraq, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is calling for unity following a weekend of violence. More than 40 people died today in attacks, including car bombings and a shooting. In Russia, the security chief says special forces have killed the country's most wanted man, a Chechen warlord thought to be responsible for a 2004 attack on a school. 331 people died in that attack, half of them children. In the Gaza Strip, the face-off between Israel and the Palestinians continues. At least 8 Palestinians were killed today in Israeli airstrikes aimed at freeing an abducted Israeli soldier. In Afghanistan, the U.S. military reports that more than 40 Taliban members were killed today in fighting. Yesterday, 15 militants and a Canadian soldier were killed in the ongoing effort to root out Taliban insurgents in the southern part of the country. Also today, Britain announced plans to deploy nearly 900 additional troops to Afghanistan between now and October. The first troops are expected to arrive within days. In Washington today, a judge ruled that an FBI search of a congressman's office in May was legal. He also denied a request that the material seized during the search be returned. The search was conducted on the office of Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson, who's being investigated on bribery charges. Also in Washington, the Bush administration asked a judge to throw out a lawsuit that today two astronauts aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery removed a faulty part from the International Space Station and performed other maintenance tasks. Their mission is slated to last a total of 13 days. A group that tracks cancer trends predicts tobacco will kill 1 billion people this century. That's 10 times as many victims as in the 20th century. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The former head of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, was sworn in as the new U.S. Treasury Secretary today. He says he plans to increase trade and investment and ease worries over trade and budget deficits. Florida State University has received a more than $6 million NOAA grant. The money will be used to develop a new way of predicting the number and strength of hurricanes. Canadian authorities are testing a cow carcass for mad cow disease. If the cow tests positive, it would be Canada's seventh case since 2003. The European Commission says it plans to fine Microsoft $3.8 million a day. That's if the company continues to defy a 2004 antitrust decision against it. French-based jet maker Airbus announced in the first half of the year it obtained 117 plane orders. That's reportedly less than a quarter of the orders that U.S. rival Boeing received. Three British bankers will be extradited later this week to the U.S.
They'll face charges related to the Enron accounting scandal. A new survey shows U.S. gasoline prices have gone up an average of 11 cents over the last 2 weeks. A gallon of unleaded now averages $2.99 a gallon. Light sweet crude settled at $73.61 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 13 points, NASDAQ down 13, S&P 500 up 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Thought you might enjoy that little ditty before the news. A little something, I think it was my buddy Mitch who sent that along. The artist's name, the comedian's name, is Dean Friedman. And the name of the song is I Miss Hillary. No, I Miss Monica. Mer. Mips. No, the name of the song is I Miss Monica. And there's animation to go with it, too. If you go to Google, because that's how we did it, go to Google and just type in I Miss Monica. This will be the first thing that comes up, and it's something over at Huffington Post. And it's a real joy to watch. Now, let's see if this thing will load. Let's listen to Ed Bryant's campaign commercial. Here we go. It takes a minute. I mean, these are blazing fast Uniblab 2000 computers, but yeah.
Yeah,
yes, dear. This thing. So after that, I've got Van Hillary's site ready
to
go.
Too many politicians sell out their values, lie about what they've done.
Clinton's multiplied lies.
But now there's a conservative leader we can trust, Ed Bryant. In the Army, he taught constitutional law at West Point. As a U.S. attorney, his team prosecuted powerful politicians, including a judge for sexual assault. And after 9/11, he helped write the anti-terrorist laws that protect us today.
Patriot.
Ed Bryant will secure our borders and win the war on terror.
I'm Ed Bryant, and I approve this message.
Oh, where's the part about protecting us from Hillary? Well, okay. But it's the part you got to love is, I mean, it's a video, of course. And early on in this thing, it shows a newspaper clipping. It says, Clinton multiplied lies, or Clinton lies multiplied. See how it is with these sorry seventh sons of syphilitic sea cooks? These Republicans, these conservatives. Bill Clinton has not been in office since January of the year 2001. And this dumb punk is running against him. In the Republican primary. See that now? I'm going to say something, and I don't want to make anybody mad. But last night, or night before last, rather, there was mention of this declaration of voter rights or whatever, where you were supposed to sign on and refuse to participate in politics without purpose. And I read it, and I signed it. Okay, I did. Just you know. Go along, get along. That's me. Not really. But I did so with caveats, because the way this thing was laid out, it was all about how there were we refused to participate in politics without purpose. And we were tired of corrupt Democrats and corrupt Republicans who don't respond to our needs. Sunshine. America's problem is the Republican Party, because they control the daggum Congress, all right? Now, you can howl about William Jefferson. Well, he gave $20,000 to Nigerians. Okay, dirty. Put him away. Put him in the same cell with Duke Cunningham and let him fight over the soap on a rope. I don't care. But the problem is not... I mean, The problem with the Democratic Democrats in Congress is that they won't fight. There have been ample opportunities to fight. We could have fought on, we could have drawn a line in the sand on Sammy Alito. We could have drawn a line in the sand on John Roberts. We could have drawn a line in the sand, yay verily, a couple of years ago on this stupid Medicare prescription drug bill that I now find out, much to my chagrin, I missed it, talked about it Friday night. It covers like up to $2,500 for prescriptions, and then there's a $5,000 hole in the coverage. Ah, Granny, it's back to the little friskies for you if you want your medicine. Could have drawn a line in the sand there. Could have drawn a line in the sand on the bankruptcy bill. Could have drawn a line in the... You get the idea. Could have gotten up as a body and walked the hell out of the flag desecration debate. Desecration. You want desecration? The American flag flying in front of hotels and Bob Evans restaurants and sweatshops. That's desecration. American flags flying in front of Walmarts when you know that the flag that's flying in front of the Walmart came from China. That's flag desecration. But my point is, the entire Democratic Senate, had it had an iota of stones, could have stood up as a body and said, look, we're not going to participate in this stupidity. Call us when you're ready to talk about things that matter to Americans, and walked out on the Republicans and let them sit there with their thumbs up. You get my meaning. There have been ample opportunities for the Democratic Party to show that while they're in the minority, they have the guts and the wherewithal to be the majority party so that they could do the right thing. But instead, we got a bunch of gutless cowards who sit around and go, oh, we're just going to let the Republicans destroy themselves, okay? That is what we will do. For we are geniuses. So, you know, this, no, don't tell me. I'm not. Going into November 2006, I am not ready to listen to some, we need a unity government. No, we need the hell rid of the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. What about the Greens, Bob? Screw the Greens. The Greens don't want to win. The Greens don't want to be in power. They're very, you got one chance to start changing America, and that is to put a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, and then get the billas out and stoke the fire to absolutely white hot and take every single Democratic member of Congress and hold their feet right up to that fire and say, now, USOB, we've given you the power, do the right thing. Okay? Because, well, I went and looked at the founders list of this unity, whatever thingamajig it was. It had some guy that wrote a glowing book about Ronald Reagan in it. And that was enough to tell me. Because, you see, please understand how I feel about a dadgum Republican. Republicans, and not just one or two, and it wasn't just Ann Coulter like B.J. Cooper or B.J. and the Bear or whoever wrote that stupid editorial from a couple of Sundays ago. I saw it referenced on a couple of websites. Ann Coulter does not speak for me. Yes, she does, you dirtbag, because you have let her for all these years. But now that the fat is in the fire and that America is figuring out how sick and perverted and twisted the Republican Party is,
that's only a few of us. That's like Ann Coulter and stuff and Tom DeLay, but the rest of us, you know, you'd like to have a beer with us, wouldn't you?
No. No. No, you sleaze bucket. I don't want a beer with you. I wouldn't share a glass of nigh-boiling hot mud hole water with you in the middle of a desert. Because, you sleaze bag, you Republicans, you're the ones who said, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and he is going to bomb London. When you knew, damn your eternal soul for all eternity, you knew it was a lie. And there are over 2,500 dead Americans and 20,000 maimed and wounded ones because you supported that jug-eared, pig-eyed little freak who wanted to be a war president. So we need to have unity with the good Republicans in order to form a more perfect... No. No, because the Bush voters... I don't want a reconciliation with Bush voters. They can say 19 Hail Marys, 22 and a half Paternosters, and 6 dozen mea culpas. And it's not going to change anything. And to listen to a bunch of Republicans, I'm a Republican, but even I don't like what they're doing. Screw you, because you enabled them. You made this possible. There are 100 to 150,000, if not more, women and children dead in Iraq who never raised so much as a finger against you, and you supported their murder. Baby, it's murder. And if you attempt to reconcile with murderers, then they don't become like you. You become like them. I won't do it. The problem in this nation is Republicans. The problem in this nation is Republican policy. The problem in this nation is Republican thinking. Republican thinking gets you tax cuts because the economy's too hot. Oh, wait a minute, I started a recession. The economy's too cold. We need tax cuts, so help me. Now, I am not a partisan hack, okay? Because, again, when the time comes, when we have that majority, I want mainstream grassroots Democrats in America to have to show that they are in fact better, more moral, more conscientious, and more ethical than any Republican family values voter has ever been. Because I want mainstream grassroots Democrats in America, each and every one of them, the very minute that a Democratic majority takes hold in the Senate and the House, I want a flood of communications. I got an internet in my box the other day after them's movies is all cleared out. Yeah, Ted Stevens, retire. I want emails in every Democratic member of Congress's computer. I want emails in every senator's computer. I want emails in the county executive committee's computers that say, we have an opportunity now to save this nation. Get with it. Here's what we do. And we'll work on the list. You, me, us, we will work on the list of what they must do immediately. Repeal the Help America Vote Act? Could that be job one? How about job two is fixing Medicare? How about job one, end the war, bring them home. Job two, black box voting, ain't gone, sorry, thank you. That was a lot of fun. We won't do that again. Fix the prescription. You work on the list. I'm not going to do this all by myself. But we show that we are far better and more suited to be in the majority than any values voter has ever been, because we actually live the values as opposed to merely giving them lip service. and we hold their feet to the fire until they begin to squeal. And once they have sworn that they will get it done, let them go to work. But they get one chance. One chance. Or else in every district in America, we will find a real progressive to run against them, not in their general election. We'll pull a Ned Lamont on them and run a real progressive against them in their primary and make them sweat and make them work. America is going to have to be dragged, kicking and screaming, back from this bloody precipice to which the Republicans have dragged her. Because, you know, life in fascism is pretty easy. You know, don't get in the way. Don't make a noise. Behave yourself. Don't go out in the streets. Don't protest for democracy like the Mexicans are doing and standing in their hundreds and hundreds of thousands in the streets demanding that the daggum votes be counted. Don't do that in American fascism. Do you like fascism? The very word I find to be repugnant and repulsive. Let's bury fascism. Let's never let fascism rear its filthy, stinking, little, nationalistic, flag-waving head again. What do you say? You up for that? Can we do it? Can you and I engage our fellow Americans in such a way as to say, look, we got work to do, and we are the hardest nation, working nation on earth, and we can do this, we can accomplish it, we can fix the mess that we have been put into. We can step back from the precipice. But the thing that must be borne in mind more than anything is you're not going to do this in reconciliation or in... And I'm not criticizing reconciliation efforts around the world. They work in other places. Most time, but with Republicans don't reconcile. Republicans go off to that old stump in the woods and drink that stump liquor. And they go blind, drunk, mean, crazy, like they've been since 1994. Running around in a room full of gasoline, lighting matches. It's what they've done. So no, I'm very skeptical of anyone who says Republicans and Democrats must come together. No, because you see, if I come together with Republicans, that makes me even more complicit than I already am in the murder of innocents and the deaths of American soldiers and the maiming of American soldiers. And I will never be complicit in that, for I love my country far, far too much. So thank you, but no, I'll not have unity with any Republicans. Any Republican that wants unity with me must first renounce and repent the evil and the folly in which they have engaged. Fair enough? I think so. Let's take a break. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Workers, their unions, and community allies around the country are kicking off a week of action today, protesting the upcoming Kentucky River decisions by the National Labor Relations Board. The Bush board, packed with anti-labor, pro-business board members, is expected to broaden the definition of supervisors to potentially deny thousands of workers their right to belong to a union. Eddie Acosta is with the Voice at Work campaign.
This administration has made it its point to really decimate the ability of working people to have a voice on the job, whether it's denying people their ability to be in the union, taking away any neutrality or card check agreements that we have with employers, summarily taking away the right of federal employees to belong to the union. It's doing everything possible to decimate the power of working people.
Acosta says the fundamental right to organize unions and have the power to press for social and economic justice on the job is at stake.
If we care about Social Security, if we care about health care, if we care about having a voice on the job and not being intimidated by the employer, then people need to come out and stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore and we want to keep our voice at work.
Is the Saskatchewan Labor Relations Board biased against the world's largest retailer? That's the argument presented to a justice on Canada's Queen Bench by Walmart late last week. It is the newest battlefield in an ongoing war in the Canadian province where the anti-union retailer has watched the United Food and Commercial Workers have multiple organizing successes. The company claims that the SLRB has and will continue to breach the rules of natural justice in failing to provide a fair hearing to the applicant. The corporation is basing most of its arguments on a lawsuit filed by former SLRB Vice Chair Walter Mutkowski against the government. In his suit, Mutkowski alleges that he was removed from his position after making rulings against the UFCW. A union lawyer said that the claims in Mutkowski's suit are unproven, and the company's use of the allegations is nothing more than another attempt by Walmart to obstruct the activity of the board and prevent unionization. Just 2 weeks before a coal mine blast in Kentucky where 5 workers died, the Mine Safety and Health Administration had issued multiple citations. The mine had received at least 11 citations, including one for combustible materials near a conveyor belt and an accumulation of combustible dust and loose coal. Here is today's economic report. African American families continue to lose ground in the Bush economy. The Economic Policy Institute reports that a black family's median income is 62% of a white family. That rate was at 63.5% in 2000, making major gains since 1995 when it was only at 61%. The slip, according to EPI, translates to a loss of $1,000 a year for the income of the typical black family.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
A little less than 27 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Here in a minute now. You heard the reason I was kind of preachifying, and I apologize. But you know, we heard the ad from Ed Bryant. This is, you know, these are the clowns who want to replace Bill the Cat Killer Frist, okay? Well, Van Hillary is the other guy running, and we got a couple of options here. Maybe we'll get to all of them, but the top one there, Agnes, is a radio spot. Let's see if we can make it go. Waiting. Oh, come on.
In the box.
That's why I want to play it. It says Bob in the Box.
Republicans can't even get that right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, well, all the smart web designers are Democrats. What do you want? Yeah, well, that and, you know, Greens and stuff. And I don't dislike Greens. I wish they'd get on the boat with Democrats and fix things instead of sitting off in the corner in some sort of sad little circle jerk talk. Oh, we could do it better.
The Greens are good.
Well, yeah, they're good, but they need to get in the fight and not sit on the sidelines and whine.
I hear a lot of people whining.
Okay, I guess we're not going to get Bob in the Box.
Aw.
Dadgummit. Uncooperative Republicans. What are you going to do? Well, we'll keep trying. We will. We will keep trying. But I do have somewhere else to go with you because, like I said, it's gotten to the point that the only thing I get out of watching CNN for anymore is the fun of finding stuff to share with you. Now, we've done how long have we been talking about this Left Behind video game? You know, the one where the Uber religion industry, I'm not going to call them Christians, where the Uber religion industry puts out a video game where you get to shoot everything in sight, and, oh, look, that one's wearing pink. It must be gay. Blam. You know, there's a Muslim. Blam, 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 blam. Right? We've been talking about this for a while. Well, at least 2-3 months. I know for at least 3 months I've known about this thing. Well, guess what? CNN finally found out about it. Agnes Dear?
Right with you there, Bob.
Okay, we kind of need to,
hold on.
Well, you know, anyway, Bob Franken, you know, he's been with CNN since, back when they were calling it Chicken Noodle News. But they sent him, or was it Jeff Flock? He's been there since they were calling it Chicken Noodle News, too. But they CNN only found out about this game when they had a trade show about video games. And, well, yeah, go out there and see if you can dig up a story. You know, there's 1,000 stories in the naked video game convention kind of thing, you know. So here we go. I'm going to play it, not to be repeating CNN stuff, but this is for, what, well, you know what's in the video game. See if you can catch what they leave out.
At first glance, it looks like any other video game with dramatic graphics, special effects, lots of violent shooting, and death.
Yay, death!
But in this game, next to the button used to shoot bad guys, is a button to pray.
We are the first product that appeals to more than one marketplace, the hardcore gamers, and also to a Christian marketplace.
A Christian video game that appeals to the masses. That is what the makers of Left Behind are praying for. The game is based on the wildly successful Left Behind Christian fictional book series. In the game, like in the books, the world is in the hands of Satan. Players fight evil forces while gaining strength through prayer. Watch as a player stops shooting to bow his head and pray. Doing this increases the player's strength on the battlefield. The Christian messages are there, but unlike other religious-based games which stay away from violence, the
Christian
main
messages.
Focus of this one is warfare.
The only way we're going to appeal to any hardcore gamer in a real-time strategy game is to bring warfare to life. The difference is we've added a new element, spiritual warfare.
Troy Linden, who used to help produce mainstream games like Madden Football, is confident that Left Behind is good enough to break into the mainstream. The game created a buzz at this year's E3 video game convention in Los Angeles.
When you take religious-themed games, this is definitely the highest quality I've ever seen.
Producers of Left Behind say that the violence in the game will be enough to attract the mainstream. But critics say that violence is violence no matter what, whether God's involved, and it is inappropriate, especially for children.
This game is literally a wolf in sheep's clothing.
and it's been marketed to Christian parents for their kids, trading on the label of Christianity, when in fact it's a very secular product that has the same harmful effects as other games that don't have the Christian motif.
I will reclaim heaven and rule the universe unchallenged.
Christian video games have been around for years, and while they can be found on store shelves next to other games, they haven't made much of a dent in the market. Christian game developers Tom and Bill Bean are demonstrating one of their games called Dance Praise. While none of their games has violence, they don't have a problem with Left Behind.
They're doing it through a different method than we are. We're focusing right now a little bit more on the family sector, and they're looking at more at the hardcore gamers. And I think there's a place at the table for all these different kinds of games, and we encourage them, applaud them, and hope that they do great.
Doing great means attracting the hardcore players. We asked a couple of people at the convention to try out Left Behind and compare it to other games.
I thought it was a good game. I thought it looked really great. It was fluid gameplay.
Yeah, fluid.
You know, I don't know enough about the story to really get emotionally involved. You know, on a quick play, though, it played great.
This whole spirit thing seems kind of different. But it's kind of cool.
Left Behind is scheduled to hit store shelves later this year. The game's producers are hoping to attract enough players to make some money and make a difference.
I have an unusually blessed opportunity in that the same goal to distribute as many products as possible also aligns with getting kids to think more about matters of eternal importance.
Huh? Ted Walden, CNN, Los Angeles.
We want to bring you up to date on a story that's growing by the
Agnes,
moment.
Stop it. Could you stop it, please? Thank you. I forgot to cut the tail end off of it. I'm sorry. Okay, what was missing?
God.
No. What was missing was the part about this really key... it had fluid gameplay, you know. I mean, I don't know that much about the story, you know, like, to get, like, emotionally involved in it, you know. But, like, it had fluid gameplay. I mean, like, you know, I don't know that much about that spirit thing. I mean, the last thing I played, the high thing like that was, like, that Klingon game where, like, you had to eat the big bowls of, like, worms in order to, like, keep getting stronger. Yeah? No, what was missing? What was missing was the part where you get to blow away the Jews and the Muslims and the homos. I will rule the earth. You know, it was a video report, so I got to admit, you missed some fun. The two guys that said, you know, like, we wish them many blessings on their journey. You know, we're going at it from a sort of a family-oriented thing, and they're going at it through killing people. But they're doing it for Jesus. Those two guys. Oh, Lord. I know. Describing video, this is just bad radio. But these were two big old dudes. Big older than me. Okay, and I'm no shrinking violet. Pretty chunky dudes, these guys were, wearing matching blue shirts, and they were standing there as they were being interviewed, bobbing up and down, because they were the developers of a game called Dance Praise. And where you dance on a mat for God.
What?
Yes, Agnes, you should have seen them. And they're hopping up and down like St. Vitus Dance or something, you know. Somebody bring an exorcist from over at the Left Behind game or something. Work on these. Oh, we wish them the very best. Oh, I don't know. Maybe someday we do have to get a video camera in here.
No.
But, you know, and the one guy was on there, well, this game is masquerade. Could it? They're trying to make a difference. I don't want anything to do with the difference these guys want to make. Because these guys, they're using some pretty classic tactics from someone's Reich that I won't mention,
because it supposedly, you know, that's all you Democrats can do is compare Republicans to Hitler.
But, yeah, they're using some tactics from, you know, those people. We want to get them young. If we get them young, we've got them for life. And, I mean, that's where this is at. I saw more screenshots in this video report than I have seen in all the, you know, in all the other stories I've read about it. But the screenshots that they did play, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, there was something. I'm sure this was set up somehow or another. You didn't get to see them blowing away the unbelievers. No, you saw the warrior who, having blasted the life out of several people, then kneels and prays to gain strength. I don't know. Somehow I prefer, Doom, where you go and you pick up the med pack and it's pretty straightforward. Okay, well, you know, you can go and chainsaw a few more people because you just got healed. This is your America. This is my America. This is the America that Agnes and my children will inherit.
But not that game.
That game will not come in this house. Oh, no. But that's not the issue. That's not the question. The question is, how many houses will that game go into? How many children are going to be taught? Because the video reports that, you know, the fictional bestsellers. Well, Sunshine, they're not sold as fiction at Walmart. They are put out there by Tim LaHaye and whoever that other Gomer is as prophecy. And there are lots and lots of people who have read the Left Behind series 1 through 9. You know, well, Harry Potter is satanic. Well, meanwhile, there's the Left Behind series out there saying, well, you know, one of these days. And people believe them. People read these things as accurate portrayals of a future that has yet to arrive, but is just around the corner. And just around the corner is the day that you, Christian, you, Bible-believing Christian, get to blow away the Jews and get to waste the Muslims and kill the vile, foul, homosexuals. Yes, dear.
Operation Iraqi Liberation didn't work because it spelled oil.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them freedom hasn't worked. You realize what this game is, don't you, Bob?
What is it?
It's all about the Holy Crusades.
Well, sure it is.
That's it.
But again, you know, I started out the program talking about terror, you know, the terrified nation and Larry King. I sound like a bomb.
Everybody is living in September.
Well, this game is set in New York City. They didn't tell you that part. It's set in New York. So the people that they're killing are other Americans, but they didn't tell you that either.
Well, all I want to know is what color code is it today? I need shoes to match the terror alert.
Puce.
Blech.
But you see, again, the question is how many homes this will go into. Do I want to censor this game? No. No. There is a price we pay for freedom of speech, but moreover, there is a price we pay for not engaging in that speech. Now, if this was a game that had a girl in it and she got, you know, and maybe she went and got an abortion in the game. Wherever that game was sold, there would be some fat, pasty freak in polyester with his wife standing out there. This game destroys innocent fetuses, cyber fetuses. That's it, cyber fetuses. This is an abortionist cyber fetus game. And everywhere it was sold, there would be some gang of weirdos from the local religionist industry establishment. All right? On the other hand, I guarantee you, Okay, here I go with the guarantees. I don't know. Maybe they won't. But I would be willing to wager that this game will be sold at Wally World. And probably Kmart and Target. It'll be sold at your local inside the mall video game store thingy. It'll be for rent at Blockbuster and Giga Stars Movies and, you know, the little independent guy around the corner who rents it. It'll be for, yeah, everywhere. And there won't be anyone not wearing polyester, suitably attired in non-cruel cotton or hemp clothing, smelling of patchouli and holding up a banner saying this place rents games that encourages people to kill Jews, Muslims, and homosexuals. They won't be there. They will not be there. And that is our failing. You see, the religion industry right has been well schooled for several decades now in the notion that if they don't use their free speech rights, the liberals will take freedom of speech away from them. And hence, they are out there, and they are idiots, dumber than a bag of doorknobs. But they are out there, First Amendmenting their stupidity. While we are not out there First Amendmenting our intelligence. We drive by and say, oh, Dick, would you look at the Philistines? Dude, let's go get a latte. We're not there. We're niched. We are we're separated. And we won't be there. We won't be outside the offices of the people who designed this hateful thing. I could sit here and just sort of free form and tell you 100 places where we won't be, where this game will. And this game will go into homes, and little prepubescent boys will have it handed to them by their religion industry parents. Oh, this is better than, you know, Tommy, this is better than playing that heathen fill-in-the-blank game. We got it for them because we didn't want them playing that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas because, you know, that has violent Negroes in it. So we got little Tommy this game instead. Because, see, it's got a pray button. He can only go on and kill more unbelievers after he's prayed. And we think that's a valuable lesson. We think that that really does reflect better our Christian family values here in our home. How many homes? Do you suppose that they might actually sell them in the anteroom? In front of the so-called sanctuary of the local megachurch, do you think they might? Brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know, violent video games are a scourge upon our... You know, there's that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. If you learn the cheat code to it, you can actually participate in a rape. And brothers and sisters, we know that that is not part of God's plan of salvation for us. However, I wanted to let you know we have gotten a special bargain on the Left Behind video game, and we will be selling it outside the sanctuary today after the services, before you head to the cafeteria. I'll try to get you out of here before the Church of Christ lets loose. We do like to win on Sundays, you know. But you can pick up a copy of this. It's normally $50 if you buy it over at the Sacred Wally World. It's only but here we got it for you for $20. Just a love offering of $20, and brothers and sisters, it is tax deductible. So instead of letting your young one play those heathen games, why don't you give them a good Christian game based on biblical prophecy? Why don't you do that? Do it for us today. And remember, your love offering helps us spread the message of the living God. That's right. When you purchase a copy of Left Behind, you will make it more possible that more people can be in here and hear the precious message of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that's not going to happen? I promise you that's going to happen. It's going to happen all over this country. At some point in time, that filthy mongrel, James Dobson, will have the designer of this game on and talk about how he's reaching out to America's children with his Left Behind, the Kill Everything in Sight game. And that's okay. He can do that. If we wanted to, we could find at least somewhere that was selling it and we could, you know, protest, but not likely. Not likely. Because we're segmented. We have our separate issues. I'm very concerned with the environment. I'm very concerned with labor issues, so I tend to focus most of my energies on that. So there's probably not going to be time for me to go out and worry about a non-labor, non-environmental, violent video game that's going to teach little Johnny how to blow away the people he doesn't like in the name of Jesus. Is there a thesis to all of this? Yeah, there is. And that thesis is that as long, and I've said this before, but I haven't said it in a while, so I'll go ahead and say it again. As long as we view environmental issues as environmental issues and not labor issues, and as long as we view labor issues as labor issues and not human rights issues, and as long as we view human rights issues as human rights issues and not social justice issues, and as long as we view you get the idea. A social justice issue is a human rights issue. An environmental issue is a labor issue. Until we figure that one out, sunshine, we're licked. Now, a lot of people are figuring it out. There are efforts to bring together the real faith community. I'm not talking about Dobson and mega churches. With social justice and labor and environmental issues, and those efforts must be supported because that is the only way that we take this nation back. The only way. If you've got time for the environment, but you don't have time for labor, you may very well be helping to contribute to not only labor's defeat, but your environmental cause's defeat. If you have time for human rights, but you don't have time for environmental issues, your human rights issues are going to lose, and so are the environmental issues. We have a job to do between now and November. And degrees of difference must be put aside because they are only degrees. They are not fundamental. Or at least that's the way I see it. Another hour is at its end. If you would like to talk about any of this, I welcome you to pick up the phone. 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. This is actually fairly important stuff, or so I think. Who am I? I'm Bob Kincaid. Take my
UN Security Council is delaying a vote on whether to sanction North Korea over last week's missile launches. Members also oppose a Chinese resolution introduced today. A Chinese delegation is trying to convince North Korean officials to join six-party talks, and officials say they want to wait and give diplomacy a chance. In New York, at least 15 people were injured when a building in New York's Upper East Side collapsed and burned. Officials are investigating whether a doctor who was inside the building at the time caused a gas explosion in a failed suicide attempt. In Russia, the country's most wanted man was killed today by the country's special forces. The Chechen warlord had claimed responsibility for a school attack in 2004 in which 331 people died. A Russian official says the warlord was preparing to launch another attack ahead of the G8 summit in St. Petersburg. In Iraq, dozens of people were killed today in shootings and car, suicide, and roadside bombings. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has vowed to disband the militias blamed for many of the attacks. Sunni politicians say that has to be done before Sunni insurgents will reciprocate. In Washington today, a federal judge ruled that an FBI search of a congressman's office in May was legal. The judge also denied a request that the materials seized during the search be returned. The search was conducted on the office of Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson, who's being investigated on bribery charges. Also in Washington, the Bush administration asked a judge to throw out a lawsuit that challenges the domestic spying program. White House officials say defending the program in court would jeopardize national security. In Massachusetts, the state Supreme Court ruled today that lawmakers can vote on a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Meanwhile, a California appellate court began deliberations on whether a ban on such unions is constitutional. In Mississippi, a judge began hearing a case on whether an insurance company should have to pay for damages to a home that was flooded during Hurricane Katrina. A ruling in the homeowner's favor would set a precedent that could end up costing insurance companies hundreds of millions of dollars. A group that tracks cancer trends predicts tobacco will kill 1 billion people this century. 1 in 5 cancer deaths are blamed on tobacco, or 1.4 million deaths per year around the world. Today, two astronauts aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery removed a faulty part from the International Space Station.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The former head of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, was sworn in as the new U.S. Treasury Secretary today. He says he plans to increase trade and investment and ease worries over trade and budget deficits. European Union regulators met today to discuss how much to fine Microsoft in a 2004 antitrust ruling. The software company could face more than $2 million a day, backdated to December 15th. Airbus says it received only 117 plane orders in the first half of the year. The company is dealing with a host of problems, including delays in the production of its super jumbo jet and a class action lawsuit from its shareholders. Florida State University has received a more than $6 million NOAA grant. The money will be used to develop a new way of predicting the number and strength of hurricanes. Canadian authorities are testing a cow carcass for mad cow disease. If the cow tests positive, it would be Canada's seventh case since 2003. Three British bankers will be extradited later this week to the U.S. They'll face charges related to the Enron accounting scandal. A Lemberg survey shows that nationwide over the past 2 weeks, U.S. gasoline prices have increased nearly 11 cents a gallon. Light sweet crude settled at $73.61 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 13 points, NASDAQ down 13, S&P 500 up 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour, about 50 minutes left in the program to get the bee out from your bonnet, burr out from under your saddle. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Andy is calling from the Netherlands. This is just so cool. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great. I just had a comment and a question about that video game you're
sure.
talking about. A comment is obviously just one big sick thing, but a question is, have any Christian organizations made any formal statements about the releasing of that?
To the best of my knowledge, no, Andy.
Do you think that will be forthcoming?
I would expect that, you know, maybe the United Churches of Christ or perhaps the Episcopal Church, maybe the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the more reasonable people, I would be surprised if they didn't speak out. But that's not who this thing is being marketed to, Andy. This is being marketed to your Southern Baptists, your other Church of Christ, your First Church of Apostolic Holiness, snake handlers and cyanide drinkers, and the mega churches. This is being marketed to them because these are the same people who read and believe that bizarre series of books. Have you ever thumbed through the left behind? I mean, I know you're not where it's going to be on every shelf like it is over here, but have you ever thumbed through any of these books, Andy?
There are some, I believe there's some movies out.
I think you're right. Kirk Cameron was in one of them.
I've seen a couple of those. I thought they were quite boring, and I didn't really finish watching them. But no, I have not really.
If you get an opportunity, I'm not advising you to like spend however much of your life it would take to read one of these things. But, you know, it's all full of, you know, and then the rapture came and they flew through the roof of their cars and it's got planes that planes crash because the Christian pilot was sucked out through the windshield, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's quite bizarre.
Yeah, and these people literally believe that, Andy. They believe that stuff.
I really worry about that, but what I really wanted to... Isn't there any kind of a way to like press those people to make a statement about?
I don't know that you could press them, but I think it would be worth our effort for those people of faith who listen to this program to at least in the churches they go to, they need to get a message to their church hierarchy that this is out there. And you're absolutely right, Andy. Get it denounced.
Well, you know, as far as I can tell, you know, I was brought up in the church and the whole deal,
mm-hmm.
Bible study, you know, every Sunday went to church, Wednesday's Bible study, the whole thing. But, you know, this is really just like a spitting in the face of people who really do believe in, you know, the word of Jesus Christ and the whole thing.
Anybody who reasonably studied that kind of thing knows that there is nothing in the Gospels that would ever suggest that Jesus Christ wanted anybody to kill anybody else.
No, that's the thing about it. They involve, you know, Jesus Christ and you know, even God or whatever, the Christian religion, with you know, just blatantly killing people who do not believe exactly the same way they do, and that's just absolutely wrong. And it's just I can't understand how even Southern Baptists or you know, even the extreme snake handlers or whatever could actually condone such a.
They not that's the sad thing, and it's tough to get your mind around. But they not only condone it, Andy, they encourage it. You know, it's worth remembering, and I've brought it up a number of times. I'll go ahead and bring it up again. When George Bush's own church, when the head man in his own Methodist church was trying to get to him to beg him not to start the war against the people of Iraq, he would not speak to him, but instead spoke on a giant jumbotron video to the Southern Baptist Convention, where when he mentioned the imminent threat of Saddam Hussein, the assembled faithful cheered and roared for Iraqi blood. It's no joke. It's real. I mean, it's very, and that's where we stand today. That is the state of this nation. That's why I was talking about how hard it would be hard for me to put hand to hand with some Republican and say we're going to move forward and make a better America, because I've seen their track record, Andy. They don't want one.
No, well, I think it's like a due time for like a Christian revolution. That is something that happened here in Europe. I believe it was in the late 19th century. Before that, we also had these extreme, very toxic denominations, but they were ultimately forced by a majority of the Christian church to integrate themselves with, let's call them, the normal people.
Mm-hmm.
They're normal. I'm not exactly sure about how the whole history went, but I truly don't believe that those people represented the majority of the Christian community in any place.
Well, I don't see that, and this is where I get myself in trouble, Andy. I don't think of Southern Baptists and these I call them the religion industry.
Yeah, that's a good term, yeah.
They are not, by any stretch of the imagination, Christians, okay?
No.
They are idolaters. They are followers of a false Christ, because they're not following Christ. They're following whoever's standing in the pulpit.
Yeah.
They are cultists of personality.
Yeah.
But I don't mean for anything I ever say about these people to be cast across or cast onto true followers of Christ.
No.
But you're right. The people who do need to denounce these people and denounce this game and make sure that people understand that it is a manifestation of evil.
That's, I agree completely. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, the whole thing is really about just the whole the way people communicate, and it's mostly via the media.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the media is controlled by those people ultimately. And but I still think I don't know. Like you've said it many times, you know, Democrats and liberals and lefties are all just kind of timid, willing to compromise, that whole deal. And I'm
right.
Skip that to just put the thumb on those people.
Right. I'm tired of it. I speak my mind, and if someone says, "Well, no, George Bush is a good man," I will turn around now and say, "Does a good man do this? Does he do this? Does he do this? Does he do this?"
Yeah.
And if they want to, yeah, but he goes to church. Well, one time in the entire period of time that he's been president have I seen him in a church. Once.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah,
really?
I'm sure Hitler went to church once in his life, too, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, no, I mean, he was, yeah, baptized and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Andy, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure talking with you. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Nice talking to you.
Take care and have a great Tuesday.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Our friend Andy from the Netherlands. And let's roll on to our good friend Peter in Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I'm glad you brought up this Left Behind series thing. It brings to mind an article that I read a couple of weeks ago, and it has everything to do with reaching out to young people to convince them of that particular mindset. The Left Behind series game, of course, you know, gets them into the mood of, you know, let's kill for Christ. But there's something else going on, too, and it's a magazine called Cobblestone. Now, the magazine Cobblestone actually had benign or actually good, a good beginning. There were two teachers that started the magazine in 1979, and it was to promote reading and history, and its primary outreach is 9 to 14-year-olds. Well, what the magazine has done is they're starting to come out with issues called, one of the issues is called Duty, Honor, and Country.
Oh, no.
Yes, and the magazine is distributed to grade school kids, and it depicts soldiers in Iraq manning machine guns. There's a glossy cover. It says there are articles in it like going through boot camp, you're in the Army now, and a rundown of the Army's awesome arsenal. Awesome, dude.
Oh, dude, totally.
Yeah, and it's
a
description of Army careers, et cetera, et cetera. The most controversial part of it, though, has been a pair of teacher's guides, though. The teachers are up in arms. It's they're prepared and come with the magazine, and they're given to the teachers. And what they're saying in the teacher's guide is they want to suggest the classroom invite a soldier, invite an Army recruiter, invite a veteran, or someone to speak to the class and poll the students about whether you know, what they can do in the Army. Furthermore, Bob, before this...
Now, I'm sure this is only an approved veteran.
Well, yes.
I mean, I'm guessing nobody wants to hear from, like, Lieutenant Aaron Watata.
Yes. By the way, I got a phone call from him today. It was a recorded phone call. He's asking people to visit the... how does the site go?
ThankYouLT.org.
Yes. He's in desperate need of funds, and if anyone is listening that could possibly go to that site, I strongly recommend that you go. I'm sure I put my phone number in on one of the letters of support that I sent, and so it was one of those automated phone calls, but it was his voice that was very touching.
It was. I heard the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, in addition to having them visit, what they're asking the kids to do is before these guys come, they're asking the kids to write an essay, that says, in other words, an essay that what they would say to a recruiter to get the recruiter to recruit them. In other words, they need to, you know, prepare what they...
No.
Get their little heads all set up so that they want to do it. And then they need to pretend that they're going to join the Army and that they've decided what career they would like to do, and they want them to write a paper to persuade a recruiter that they should have that career.
Remember when the Bush administration got caught for placing fake news?
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently they've moved on to My Weekly Reader, Ranger Rick, and Cobblestones.
Ah, yes, I remember Weekly Reader well. Cobblestone is new to me at this, but I imagine it's along about the same lines.
Well, no, I remember talking a couple of months ago about My Weekly Reader. It came home with one of the kids. What was it, Agnes? It had like that Marlboro Man soldier on the front of it or something. Hey, kids, war is cool. Yeah.
Good Lord. Well, in 2008, they're supposed to be releasing issues in the Marine Corps and... probably before 2008, and the Army and the Navy, you know, separate issues on different branches of the government of the military. So, bottom line is that the teachers are just freaking out over this. It's nothing more than recruitment of young kids, and the very idea they're supposed to write a paper ahead of time before these guys come. What they want to do, Bob, is get the recruiters in the damn grade schools. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, and see, we can't now, Peter.
Yes.
We can't say something like they're trying to jumpstart George Bush's Hitler Youth, okay? We can't say they're trying to build the Bushy Youth. We can't do that because, see, us left-wingers, we're haters. We're full of hate. We just live to hate George Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. You know, look, it might be a little easier that way, Peter, because, you know, if a mother carries a child in her womb and raises him up to full manhood only to see him blown into his constituent parts by a roadside bomb somewhere in Iraq, you know, that's got to be hard on the mother.
And that's exactly part of it, too, the thing about being blown in constituent parts. The magazine very carefully avoids combat duty. As part of what, you know, it's all about, I'm an electronics engineer, you know, I run radar screens.
Yeah, and I wear a uniform, and when you go to Cub Scouts, you wear a uniform.
Yeah, there's
it's just another uniform.
It's absolute fantasy land. And then, you know, the guy at Cobblestone, he says, we're not part of the Army. We're not part of the government. They contacted us. He actually says that.
Darn right they did.
Yeah, like that's an excuse.
Yeah, because, see, socially active young people are doing a fine job of running recruiters off of campuses now, and at least you know, the recruiters might be able to hold their own against some nine-year-olds.
Right. And, of course, the nine-year-olds have not developed, at least maybe the ones that call the Malloy Show on the youth night, they might be, but the mindset of most kids that age are not mindsets that would object to something like that. It'd be cool, no work today, we get to listen to the Army guy.
Oh, and you see, that would go. Oh, Lord, Peter, I don't know. Well, you know, you kind of live up where the rednecks are in Florida.
Oh, I've seen two or three.
Yeah, because I mean, that would, you know, this would that kind of thing. You know, bring a soldier into the classroom. That would go over like Christmas around here.
Yep, it goes over like Christmas in all the states where all the poor kids live who have very few other alternatives. It's recruiting the poor to fight the battle of the rich oil companies is basically what it boils down to. Lying to the kids and glossing it over, and, you know, away they go. You know, shoot, that's just so immoral. So, yeah, they're doing it. There's not only the Christian video games, the Army's doing it, too. The kids, they are trying to make a generation of Republicans like no generation has ever been before.
Well, and again, we can't mention Hitler, but, you know, they the Third Reich people said, never mind your present, we already own your future because we have the children.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this...
And see, the thing that y'all missed, because I can't do video, in the video report about this Left Behind game, I neglected to mention that all of the Christian killers in this game,
yeah,
soldiers.
Oh, really?
In uniform, helmets, the works.
Are they U.S. soldiers? Are they like?
Well, I mean, they're in sort of olive drab.
Yeah, yeah. There's probably a little Christian cross in there.
I mean, it's not like it's a bunch of militant Jesuits running around blowing people away with street sweepers.
The general impression, though, is it's a soldier. It doesn't really matter what kind.
It's a soldier for Jesus.
Soldier for Jesus. Well, I've been, you know, sitting on this article for a few days, and this is the perfect time to bring it up.
It all comes together so nicely, doesn't it, Peter?
To me, yes, it does. So this stuff, it's all planned, Bob. The only damn thing that these bastards didn't plan for was the internet. That's something that it's been going on for 40 years. These plans have been in the works for years and years and years.
It started the day that Goldwater got stomped.
And the internet is our big problem, and they're taking steps to correct that, are they not?
Yes, they are, because you know you don't want to have one of those internets not show up in your mailbox for a few days because it was caught up behind a copy of My Friend Flicka.
I know they make it sound like it's something where you drop your deposit at the bank and it goes down the tube, and there's like 500 people in that.
Well, exactly. It's not a big truck where you can just dump stuff on it. The internet is made out of tubes, Peter.
Asinine description of the internet I've ever heard in my life. If anyone who knows that packets, it's divided up into packets, and the packets, I mean, like one packet can go this way and another one that way. It's whichever tube is empty at the time is where your packet gets routed. So by the time you get your web page, it's been through, you know, 35, 50, 100 routes. I mean, part of it came here, part of it came there. You know, it's all automagic.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, the way, it kind of reminds me of the way they used to talk about what the theory was behind the transporter in Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, the little pieces come together.
I didn't join this man's space navy to have my molecules scattered all over the galaxy and then reassembled on this Klingon vessel.
Yeah, we didn't join head-on to have our liberal hate speech spread all over the dam. Oh, jeez. Oh, man, I love you guys. Hang in there, Bob.
We're trying, Peter, and thank you so much. Have you actually, I mean, where would a guy get his hands on a copy of Cobblestones?
Well, let's see here. That's a good question, if they give an address. The article that I'm referencing here was in the Boston Globe, and it was published on Monday. So to read the article, you'd have to just go to the Boston Globe and look for an article called Some See Army Pitch in Preteen Magazine. But it does not give a website link for the magazine, but I'll bet you Sarah knows in the chat room, because Sarah, being a teacher, she probably has known about Cobblestone for a while. But it was in Boston Globe, and you'd probably do a search on Army Pitch and Preteen Magazine.
I'm going to have to see about trying to get my hands on one of these things. I think one of the things I've got to do is sort of branch out and try to interview some of these freaks. I'd like to, you know, well, the Army called us. I want to hear that said so other people can hear it.
Yeah. What did they say? And how much money was promised? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they called us, and we picked up the phone, and we said Cobblestones, and they said, oh, this isn't a pizza joint. No, this is a magazine for children. Really, it is? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, could you talk about the Army? Oh, sure.
Yeah. It does say here they're a New Hampshire publisher, and they target 9 to 14-year-olds. Monday, July 3rd, Boston Globe.
Yeah, now that they're pitching the Army, targeting 9 to 14-year-olds has a whole different meaning, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, doesn't it, though? Poor Sarah. She has to go to... Sarah, those of you who don't know, Sarah is one of our chatters in the chat room. We all love her dearly. And she's a teacher and deals with stuff like this every day. You know, I always think of Sarah when I read stuff like this. Hey, yeah, and if you guys are not in the chat room, you need to join us. I mean,
yeah,
we all just love each other to pieces, and, you know... Come on down.
Yeah, headonradionetwork.com. Click on the little link on the left that says chat room, and bang, there you are.
Crazy Eddie's, you know.
We're chatting.
Mark the wind. And, of course, that's at headonradionetwork.com.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Yes, sir.
You have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye now. Crazy Eddie's liberal chat room. No, it is, and it is a lot of fun. If you did, and you know, there's usually somebody there during all the programming that's on the Head On Radio Network, and sometimes when there's no programming at all, there's a bunch of people that stay in the chat room and listen to Mike Malloy after I get done. You know, Mike being over on America's first liberal network, we being America's other liberal network. So, you know, if you listen to the podcast or you listen some other way, come into the chat room and meet some of the wacky people that you hear on the program from time to time, because a bunch of them are in there. It's about 26 minutes after the hour. We're not done yet. Oh, no. We've still got stuff to do, stuff to talk about. And there's a bit of room yet if you want to jump in and get your 2 cents worth in. Well, we're liberals and progressives. It's more like you're $150 million worth in. It's not like this is cheap ditto head thought or anything. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
All right, welcome back. 28 minutes or so before the hour. I wanted to run something for you here in a moment. Our good friend Bruce Birch covered a labor action at a Harris Teeter supermarket near him over the weekend concerning the treatment of workers at Smithfield Meats hog processing facility. I know the vegetarians are going, ew, ew, ew. Gang, I'm sorry, some of us still eat meat, but it's not that issue. It's about whether these people who are very, very poorly treated have a right to have a union at that plant and thereby make that plant, which does some pretty thing, some things you and I probably wouldn't want to be doing unless we were like desperate to feed a family. And it's one of those situations where if you can keep them desperate, you can keep them working. I mean, this place processes like 32,000 hogs a day or something like that. Oy. But we're gonna run that report because Bruce did a wonderful job with it. And for those of you who didn't listen to his program, I want you to hear this, and I want you to think about. Oh, I want you to think about. Shame on me. You think about what you want to think about, okay? You'll get out of this whatever you need to get out of it. It's very well done. It's thought-provoking. And these people make some excellent points. So, a report from our special correspondent, Bruce Birch.
This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. Smithfield Foods, who recently announced a 99% decline in fourth quarter profits, as well as the closing and consolidation of three plants, may get hit further by a national consumer education campaign that was launched June 19th in seven cities by immigrant rights, civil rights, faith, labor, and student groups in support of the approximately 5,500 workers at Smithfield's largest pork processing plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina. On Sunday, July the 9th, organizers and activists held a demonstration and rally outside a Harris Teeter grocery store in Greensboro, North Carolina, to educate the public and store employees about the deplorable working conditions at the Smithfield plant. I spoke with United Food and Commercial Workers Union organizer Libby Manley prior to the rally about Smithfield and the conditions there.
Smithfield Packing operates the world's largest hog processing plant in the southeastern part of North Carolina in a tiny town called Tar Heel. It's a very rural, isolated area. Smithfield moved there for a reason. They opened the plant in 1992. It's, like I said, the world's largest hog slaughter and pork processing facility. They kill 32,000 hogs a day. They own all the hogs from birth to slaughter, so they operate and own most of the hog farms here in North Carolina. They're a big environmental polluter. You know, More than that, they've been mistreating North Carolina workers for over a decade through a campaign of threats, intimidation, and violence.
Intimidating the workers at this plant apparently has been the rule rather than the exception. Labor organizer Libby Manley went on to detail the abuses by Smithfield against the workers.
There have been two union elections, one in 94, one in 97. There was egregious violations of labor law that took place, found by the National Labor Relations Board. The results of both elections were overturned. They were doing things like branding hogs with vote no that were coming through the line. They were pitting African-American and Latino workers against each other, having closed-door meetings with African-American workers saying, you know, the Latinos want to take your jobs. The union comes in, you'll be let go. They're threatening that Latino workers with deportation at the same time, pitting the two groups against each other. There was violence that took place in the 97 election. Union supporters were physically assaulted, falsely arrested.
By the police?
By the Bladen County deputies who were on hand when the election took place in full riot gear. Basically, the company instigated a riot. As recently as 2003, sanitation workers at the plant that come in during third shift to clean down all the equipment staged a walkout. It was protected, concerted activity. They were met by Smithfield police, assaulted, falsely arrested. So this is stuff that's been going on very recently.
She also told me about Edward Morrison, a worker at the plant, who was denied workers' compensation after a work-related injury.
One example, Edward Morrison, who is an African-American gentleman in his early 40s, was working on the kill floor. His job was to flip hogs as they came out of the dehair machine. Now, he's flipping 4,000 hogs a day on his eight-hour shift. And these hogs weigh, you know, 200 to 300 pounds. Really labor-intensive, brutal work. And it's hot in this part of the plant on the kill floor. It's,
sure.
You know, could be up to 120 degrees. He tore his meniscus in his knee, really badly injured his knee. Shortly after that, he was fired and denied workers' comp.
Although the plant has not allowed the union to organize through established methods, it is now calling for new elections to prove that the workers do not want a union there.
So the plant now is calling for a new union election. They are saying they want to prove to everyone that they're capable of having a free and fair election after the results of the last two were overturned by the labor board. But we know that there's an atmosphere of intimidation that's so thick that it's not possible for there to be a fair election. It's like a company that's been dumping chemicals in a river for, you know, over a decade and then invites you over for a glass of water.
However, the United Food and Commercial Workers believe that Smithfield should act in good faith and allow a fair elections process to occur.
We think that the company needs to sit down with workers and, you know, create a different process. That, you know, more than half of the workers have signed cards saying they want union representation. So we could do a card check system. I mean, there are lots of different options.
Sure.
But we know the same kind of violence is going to take place if we have another election. And why would we want to submit folks to that again?
Turning to the Greensboro labor action, Manley described the activities that would occur at the Harris Teeter store.
Part of the way we're pressuring Smithfield right now is by hitting them in their market areas. And this is not just in North Carolina, but all across the country. When people sit down for breakfast sausage in New York City, they're likely eating Smithfield products that were produced here in Tar Heel, North Carolina. So we're doing actions in Boston, D.C., Chicago, Atlanta. We're doing one today in Greensboro, North Carolina. And these look like, you know, we go inside supermarkets, we inventory Smithfield products, we let the managers of the grocery stores know that we're there and know why we're there. Today we're going to be demonstrating in front of a Harris Teeter, which sells a lot of Smithfield products from the Tar Heel plant. And we're going to be asking them to get pork from other plants. There are plenty of union plants with good conditions that they could be buying pork from. Smithfield itself, 40% union. They're not a bad company across the board.
About 50 labor demonstrators showed up at the store. Among them was Mark Demenstein, a veteran labor organizer for the American Postal Workers Union.
A number of people from labor and from the community are out supporting the Smithfield workers in their efforts to unionize. their long-term effort to unionize. They've been at it for 13 years. They've met with, been met with great employer resistance. And the battle's heating up, and hopefully the union's around the corner. But this is part of the support efforts around the country for the Smithfield workers.
Dimenstein also described the intense anti-labor stance that Smithfield has taken against the workers.
These folks, there's over 5,000 pork processing workers at Smithfield. And in response to their efforts to unionize, the employer has fired people, harassed people, beaten people, divided people, to the point that the courts finally slapped the company with massive violations. But no worker that wants to stand up for simple justice on a job, a voice on a job, should be met with this kind of resistance and this kind of illegal activity. So with enough support, we hope to pressure Smithfield to honor and respect workers' rights.
A team was assembled to enter the store and return a previously purchased Smithfield pork product with the intent of enlightening the store management about the deplorable working conditions at the Smithfield plant and Smithfield's anti-labor stance. Richard Koritz, veteran labor organizer, and another activist named Erica have a conversation with the store manager, who is sympathetic to the cause and actually says to the organizers, "Bless you for doing this," when it is put to him that the working conditions of the plant are deplorable.
That this Smithfield company has directed toward their own workers who simply want the right to organize themselves so they can have a collective voice and a chance at a decent life like you and I want. That's been criminal. And they've been found to be criminal over a period of years, but they're so big that they can keep paying the fines and just keep operating business as usual. You look like a very decent man.
I appreciate that.
And we really hope that you'll take to heart what we're saying. That's why you've noticed we're out there today. And that's the reason. That's the cause. So thank you very much for your time.
Yes,
for being so affable about this whole thing.
Not a problem at all. So. Like I said, appreciate your business. Thank
okay.
You. Okay.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. I'd be happy to.
Yes,
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Sure. We're really concerned with the worker situation, safety in the workplace.
All right.
And you know yourself that workers are taking on the chin all over this country. And this is just part of an effort to try to level the playing field, at least to some degree, so workers have some chance at a decent life.
Right. Yeah. Well, bless y'all for doing it.
And if they do get unionized, the safety conditions will improve. And also all the other Smithfield plants that are unionized, the workers get paid like $3 to $4 more an hour than these workers do, which is pretty significant when you're trying to raise a family. And so thanks for listening.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And have a good evening.
You too, man. Thanks.
Back outside, the demonstrators wrapped up their activities with a report on what happened inside the store. Erica, a labor activist, described the scene, and Richard Koritz had some final words for the assembled.
Sure. So myself and four other people went into the store. We went up to the customer service desk with a bag that held a loin of pork that Libby kindly bought today, yesterday, it doesn't really matter, and declared that we wanted to return it because of the conditions under which it was produced, and proceeded to tell the management about those conditions, and he actually received us very well, listened to what we had to say, told him about the conditions in the plant, told him that other Smithfield plants are unionized, there are other options to where they can purchase their pork. And he agreed to pass that information along to their purchasers. So who knows if he'll really do it, but that's good. And, overall, I think it was pretty successful interaction. Yeah, I also just wanted to say that I participated in an action in Asheville a couple of weeks ago, very similar to this. And I went into the store with a group of students who were my age, early 20s, and the management wouldn't talk to us. They were really, really rude to us. Excuse me. Going into this delegation, myself and four older people, it made, just really reinforces the necessity for intergenerational dialogue, intergenerational movements, people working together and learning from each other. And they listened to us, and I do believe it was because of our representation. So just wanted to add that.
And for whatever it's worth, the co-manager of the store said, "God bless you," when we raised that we were fighting for justice. It just came out of him at the end of our discussion. So hopefully he won't have to pay too dear a price for that, because I think
our brothers and sisters from the alternate media caught him on tape saying it. But it's an indication that we don't want to, I would say, except for the super rich, everybody else in the society really has a stake in, to one extent or another, in fighting for justice. And so if we fight for the hearts and minds of all of these people, we're going to win a heck of a lot of them in that struggle. At least our initial contact with that person needs to say, let's bring out the best in that person.
That's right.
Let's raise up what it is that we're trying to do for humanity and try to raise up that person to join us in that fight. And I think today it worked out for us. I'm so pleased to have been here with all of you. And I would like to ask us to close with an old Union truth that's just as true today. And it goes like this. In our unity lies our strength. For those of you who believe as I do, in our unity lies our strength.
This has been Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
Darn good, Bruce. Good on you, brother. And good on those people, the young people and the organizers. I know there are a lot of people who expend a lot of energy, and I don't criticize them for it, in the realm of the humane treatment of animals. And I agree with a whole bunch of it. I fundamentally disagree with the industrial production of. Well, you were here last week, probably. You heard Michael Pollan talking about the literally cities of cattle standing shoulder to shoulder, fetlock deep in their own poop. You know, coming to a dinner table near you. You heard that. It's no different with hogs, except they're closer to the ground and therefore closer to the, well, you get them. But the trick here is, hair care products or makeup or hairspray or shampoo or soap or whatever. Most of those things now have a label that says cruelty-free, no animal testing. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a bottle of shampoo that says humanely produced in a union shop. Because while our side of the debate, and I'm not criticizing anyone for being the pro-humane treatment of animals. Far from it. I will never join PETA because I am an omnivore. I am what I evolved to be. However, while I applaud people who are, you know, we had a story break here in West Virginia about what they were doing to the chickens in the chicken processing plants, and a PETA operative did it. They snuck in a video camera, and they caught people. And these are chickens that were being sold to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? My children won't eat from KFC anymore. And just for sport, the non-union workers there would take these living chickens and bash them against the concrete walls or saw their beaks off. You know, or torment them and torture them some other way. But what I'm looking for is the humane treatment, and I think maybe we ought to focus a little bit more on it, the humane treatment of humans. People who are fired from their jobs or tormented or beaten or arrested for trying to stand up for themselves and the rest of their brothers and sisters with whom they work. See, that's not the humane treatment of humans. The humane treatment of humans takes place when humans organize themselves into groups to make sure that they are humanely treated. I guess I'll think twice before I ever pick up anything with the name Smithfield on it, because I know that it's coming from a place where the hogs aren't treated humanely, and neither are the humans.
You won't buy
it. And, you know, I've seen it at Kroger's, I've seen it all over the place. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I just won't. But that's also behind something that you may have noticed a little bit earlier. Yeah, it's me and Agnes. It's Agnes and me. A little commercial we're running. And hopefully they will run on all, and they will run on all of the horn programming. We are trying to get folks to purchase their casual wear from an outfit called No Sweat. I sincerely hope you will. And if you at headonradionetwork.com and on all the players, when you bring up the media players, you'll see an ad for No Sweat. I have promised you time and again, we will not beg. We're not going to stick our hands out and say, you know, help us or give us money. We're not going to do that. But we have a little agreement similar to the agreement you might have with that other websites have with the likes of Powell's or whatever for book sales. We have an agreement with No Sweat. This is full disclosure. I don't want you to think that anything is anything that it's not. We get a little bit of money if you go through the link at headonradionetwork.com, one of those links. If you go through there and you go to No Sweat and you buy something, ball cap, T-shirt, polo shirt, pair of jeans, something like that, if you buy from them, we get a small percentage, a small commission on the sale. Trust me, we're going to have to sell a lot of blue jeans before it gets to the point where it keeps the lights on here or anything. But it's a matter of doing the right thing. Because, again, the humane treatment of humans. Now, I'm guilty. I can go in and open the drawer, and I can take out a pair of blue jeans. Levi's. Used to be made in the United States. Used to be made in a union shop. Now, they're made in China by some man, or more likely woman, or child, who works 12, 14, 16 hours a day for literally pennies. And they ship those jeans back here, and they sell them here for, I don't know, what's a pair of Levi's go for? $30, $35, $40, depending on where you buy it? Same with Wrangler, same with Lee, same with Calvin Klein or Ralph Lauren or any of the... No, it's all made somewhere else, and it is damn sure not made in a union shop. Now, you go through our banner to No Sweat, and you can buy a pair of blue jeans that you know was made in a place where the humans are treated humanely. Because those jeans were made in a union shop in the United States where people work an ordinary work day, where people have benefits, where people have health care. And you know what? This is the kind of thing where the rubber meets the road. If we as progressives say that we believe that people should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick, then this is where you buy your blue jeans. If you believe that people should be able to retire in dignity when they reach old age, this is where you go to buy your hoodie. If you believe that it is important for people who put in a 40-hour week not to be on, have to be on welfare or rely on public assistance, then this is where you go for your socks or your ball cap or your windbreaker or your polo shirt. So, yeah, I'm going to be overt about it. I hope you will please buy from No Sweat, and I hope you will use the link, the banner, at headonradionetwork.com. You'll hear the ad from time to time. You're going to probably hear it a lot. But when you do that, yes, dear?
And it's keeping shops open that might not be kept.
Well, these companies, dear, are, they have things like employee ownership.
Cool.
employee participation in the ownership of the venture. Now, there are things at No Sweat that come from overseas. But there's some inspiring stories behind that, too, because many nations have, minimum wage and benefit standards. The stuff that comes from overseas comes from places that are not sweatshops. Comes from places where the workers are paid more than the government standard, where the benefits are higher than the government standard. They come from places where people line up to get to work there because it is a good place to work. And the people are organized into a union. It's a good thing. I hope you will go there. You know, we need a pair of jeans. You know, there's nice Oxford shirts, polo shirts, T-shirts, jackets. It's all there. Avail yourself of it. Because you know what? I've got a feeling that with us being liberals and progressives, we actually do think about what goes on our bodies. We take time to think about what goes into our mouths. And we think about what goes on our bodies. And you know what? There's an added bonus to all of this. When you're wearing American-made clothing, union-made, and you know what buying that union-made apparel has done for someone else, you get to know that you have done a moral thing. You have done a correct thing. You have done a good thing. So I hope you'll make a habit of No Sweat, and we'll have their founder on at some point in time. We can talk about exactly how this came to be. But here's the fun part: it doesn't cost. It's cost competitive with anything you're going to find at the big box stores or anywhere else that came from a sweatshop. Look good and feel good. You really can't beat that, can you? So that's it for tonight. Thanks for making this a wonderful Monday. My darling wife, Agnes, produced the program. Brian Reznor announces. Chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream and the archives of this program and every other program on the Head On Radio Network, as well as the archives of several other fine liberal programs like the archives of our good friend Mike Malloy. Ben has a fundraiser going on right now. Help Ben continue to do what he does for the horn, please. Everything that happens in relation to the Head On Radio Network happens, moreover, because there are thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up and go to work every day, and they build the American dream, from homes to office buildings to government complexes. It's amazing the work they do. And by supporting the horn, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.